Long, a reminder from News Radio 620, KTAR.
Education, entertainment, it's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two. Of the computer corner. We're talking mobile technology, we're talking spam, we're talking viruses, we're talking whatever you want to talk about, actually. 602-277-5827, one phone line left.
Or you think you're so cool with your French, don't you?
What
a numero dos. What do you think about that, huh?
Three?
Yeah, whatever, dude.
Gary writes us with a question about hidden messages. He says, recently I've received advertising emails with weird hidden messages under the ad.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're written in white text, so you can't see them unless you highlight the text.
Wonder what that's trying to do.
Is this some form of subliminal advertising?
Is it possibly some form of... The guy's trying to send it, trying to fool the spam filters by putting in words that are a little bit more legit than other words that aren't as so legit?
Something about passenger list? What's it all about? Gary wants to know. Gary, that is a method that the spammers use to try to fool, just like Brandon was talking about. They're trying to fool the spam filters. In other words, if the keywords that a spam filter is looking for is one of a 100 or 1,000 or 1,500 words, it actually looks at the message differently. So it's just a way to try to fool the spam filters into thinking it's a legitimate message by putting just random text in there. And those of you that are getting those random text emails, that's like parts of sentences from stuff that kind of makes sense and then doesn't at all, it's a way to try to get past the spam filter and then try to throw either, in some cases, actually it's not just spam, it's... They're trying to get you to open up an attachment or click on a link or kind of, you know, all these different ways to try to get you to do something you shouldn't.
In the early days, spam filters were very, very simplified in that they really just looked for certain words or real simple phrases to add a negative score to mail to make it look kind of sort of spammy. But now spam filters have gotten a lot more sophisticated, and certain words will move the score the other direction. Certain words and phrases it classifies as things that don't look like spam. And so what they're trying to do is just put in those words and phrases that look like non-spam things so that it overrides the score, the spam that's really there is putting in.
And clearly, if you're getting them and you have spam filters, need I say more?
Just stop using email.
That's the only way to get rid of spam.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the only way to get rid of junk mail in your snail mailbox is stop checking the mailbox.
Somebody will come up with a way that you can have like a different address every day, but somehow like your group of friends will know because it'll broadcast to them, or there's a place where they can go and find out what it is. Or,
and as soon as they come up with that, they'll have a way to break it and get around
well,
it.
Well, yeah, but for a day or two,
hey,
you'll have a sweet-looking inbox.
Spam-free.
Huh?
That really sucks for business cards and stuff.
Yeah.
It really bites, actually.
Well, what it is it's going to be invisible ink. Right? The email section will be like this invisible ink that just...
You just replace it every
day. No, I know.
Liquid paper.
Change the font on your email to be white with a white background.
Ooh.
That way the spammers won't get your address. Huh?
How about we go to the Geek Speak of the Week, shall we? Every week we try to bring you a little nugget of knowledge that might help you better understand the technology terms used around you, especially by those dastardly people that call themselves geeks and nerds that try to make you feel little because you don't know what they're saying.
Geeks.
We're fighting them.
It's actually a geek acronym this week.
It's not an acronym because it's not a word.
It's a geekronym.
It's a series of words.
It's a series of letters that do not form a word, therefore it's not an acronym. It's an abbreviation.
An abbreviation.
Wow.
That's
the kind of knowledge you can count on here.
Got Mitabuff. Me again.
Mitabuff. Yeah,
see?
You're right. MTBF, yes?
Yes, MTBF. What does that stand for? Meantime between faults.
Or failure. In the case of hard drives.
It's the average time, usually expressed in hours, that a component is expected to work before failure.
Is it the mean time, like when it's really angry?
Yeah.
Or is it just
wouldn't
like
you be?
Well,
you're
average
failing?
Time. It's more like Greenwich Mean Time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Jim... one of our avid, faithful listeners, Jim, wants to know, says, I'd like to hear your comment about the quote in this week's newsletter. Namely, for example, most hard drives have an MTBF ranging from, what is it?
350,000 to 1 million hours.
Hours, right, depending upon their make and model. So that's between, what, 40 and 115 years?
40 and 115 years.
Okay, so what he wants to know is relative to our other famous quote of basically there are two kind of hard drives, those that are going to fail, those that have failed, or those that are going to fail.
Right.
So what explains the gap, basically?
So how can that be? Yeah, because if I've got a million mean time on my hard drive, that means...
That's what he's saying. It seems like no hard drive should ever fail based on the first quote.
Exactly.
Well, first of all, these are ratings for how long the drive will sit there spinning.
Let's basically add some key words here for Jim. Jim, the MTBF in a lab.
Well,
controlled conditions.
Ken made a good point yesterday when he told me that hard drives haven't been around for 115 years. How could they possibly know?
Oh, they know.
No, they've had them in labs.
Oh, they know.
Oh, they know. No, what they
don't
do know.
Don't you question the hard drive, my friend.
What they do know is the mechanism that causes that platter to spin. Because when a hard drive's not being used, it's just kind of sitting in this state where the drive itself is just kind of spinning.
Right.
And they're saying that under those circumstances, the electronics can stay plugged in and turned on. The part that I don't explain about MTBF is the minute you start to actually use it in the real world where the arms are flying back and forth and it's
right.
starting and stopping and you're turning it on and off. The MTBF becomes irrelevant.
Oh, did we mention then you're also not using it in a lab? So then probably like dust and things are introduced.
Right.
And
the
I know that they're sealed, but over time that seal becomes weakened. And oh, temperature, yeah. There's things like temperature and power spikes and voltage. And there's just a million things that
and
happen in the real world.
Who's installing this into a machine?
Did you say
Minky?
A monkey.
Or a cow.
Yeah. That's the North
That's
Dakota
the monkey
spotted minky.
Uh-huh. Minky.
Well, the thing is, Jim, it's MTBF is spouted by a lot of people of a way to see that, okay, my hard drive's better than yours because it has a higher MTBF rating.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like people saying, well, I have a faster processor. The reality is, in real life, that it has almost no meaning.
Yeah, and your warranty isn't for 115 years, unfortunately.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The tachometer in my car goes higher than the tachometer in your car.
So now, if you got some whippersnapper computer guy trying to sell you a computer and talks about this MTBF rating on the hard drive is so incredible.
You smack him right in the face.
And say, hey, can you do that?
Sure.
Well, open hand.
Oh, is that legal in three of the four counties that we're broadcasting in?
I don't know.
How about our download of the week there, senor?
Download of the week is Avant-Go.
Avant-Go!
Can I just add that the opinions of those expressed on this program don't necessarily reflect reality at all?
Or any sane individuals. Or
slapping is probably not a good idea.
The fine management and station and ownership group of this station.
Sorry, go ahead with your download of the week now.
Avant-Go is a free service that allows you to synchronize thousands of specially formatted websites for your PDA, smartphone, or other supported mobile device. News, weather, sports, stock quotes, map, movie listings, and more.
Okay, now, Brandon, why don't we explain why you were the first one to find this product some years ago. You probably don't even remember.
I don't, but
you
I'll believe you. I'll take credit.
You took a trip to San Diego. You had one of our iPacks.
Don't we call that Diego?
No, San Francisco. I'm sorry.
Oh, it was San Fran.
San Fran. I'm wrong city.
Sweetie, what?
You had an iPack with you.
I did.
And you had downloaded this product just before you left on the trip, and you came back touting all of the wonderfulness that this program provided for you while you were out and about.
It was before like handheld GPSs existed, and I was in San Francisco, and well, it's a little bit confusing for us Phoenix boys to be navigating there in San Francisco.
Where's the closest Italian restaurant around here, Mansoor?
Right. So the Mansoor inside the PDA done told me.
We got an audience in here.
I guess. Just going over there. And anyway, you could pull up this thing and it had cool maps and I could find my way around, which is cool, without asking for directions because men don't like to do that. And it would tell me where the Mexican restaurants were and the Italian restaurants. And more importantly, the Japanese restaurants with 4 stars that serve sushi until 2 a.m.,
and then you could tell the cab driver, right?
Cab driver?
Well, you know, if you're trying to get there.
They have this thing there called a cable car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Ooh.
You should try it out sometime.
Have to do that.
Rice-A-Roni is also from there, I heard.
I also mentioned this in a column a couple weeks ago because you can download a list of hi-fi Wi-Fi, hotspots.
Yeah, all the thing has gone crazy since then. Everything that there is to know about information in a PDA wherever you're going.
If you have a PDA, if you have a Palm device or a Windows Pocket PC device, check out this website. It's an amazing little download. I'm sure they have for sale products as well that allow you to really get some crazy stuff.
Sure. I mean, it's free, so
there's lots of freebies in the product itself is free, and then they have all kinds of stuff that's free, but there's also stuff that's subscription based. But you can check it out, and it's cool as can be.
It's cool as the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott would say.
All right.
ESPN's our sister station, so we can steal that, right?
Okay.
We gave him props.
Sure.
So, all right, let's, does that cover us?
That's it.
Are we good? Yeah. Thank you, pal!
Check out the newsletter for all sorts of other good stuff.
You say that with such conviction.
Oh, well,
the fine editor of our weekly newsletter, Mr. Chad Pyle.
There's something in the way, so I can't tell when we're supposed to be going to break, but I think it's probably now.
Is it break time?
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and take a break. But when we come back,
with Russ,
we've got Earl, we've got Cleve, and we got Diane, who all have all kinds of interesting problems that you're not going to want to miss.
Or questions.
Yeah. Or issues or suggestions. You never know. We don't really know. But we're going to find out that, and so will you, just on the other side of the break. It's the Computer Corner, Ken and Brandon.
Burkina Faso. We'll explain what that is when we come back.